Well, brothers and sisters, let's call you all together. We're going to deal with two passages today. One in 1 Samuel and the second in Luke. Luke, we'll begin in chapter 1. So, as you have seats, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we come before you and we thank you that you have blessed us so greatly. Lord, you blessed us in Christ and then you've given us each other. Lord, we are just so thankful. Now, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us in your word, that we would be changed by the power of the Spirit. Lord, we would be conformed to the image of your Son. Lord, we submit ourselves and love you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, worship would have gone better, except there's this loud guy in the back singing at the top of his lungs. And I want to express something that one of my dear friends, who's now in Mississippi, says. He says about his church, "Jim, we worship hard." And he means in a very expressive, very demonstrative way. We worship hard because we suffer much. And so I just want to say that there is no place on earth I would rather be today than right here. I love you dearly. And the comfort to worship with you, to sing my favorite hymn, O Come Emmanuel, to hear Isaiah read responsively, joy to my soul, thank you. You don't know what balm you are to me, what refreshment that I receive by being with you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I come with a passage that I struggle with because I love narrative. I love narrative. But I also know the great danger when preachers get up and bring application out of narrative. And because you can make it say whatever you want. And so I will try to limit myself to two points to do here. And we will begin in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And you know the story. Hannah desired a child, and the Lord wasn't giving her a child. And Hannah's husband loved her dearly and was generous and kind towards her. And there was this sweet relationship that existed there. And they went to Shiloh, to where the tabernacle was, to worship God. And while there, in verse 12, she continued to pray for before the Lord. Let me start there. Verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli, the high priest, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman, and Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." Now, you might think badly of Eli, but I live in a world that this happens, where I mistake what's going on. And I have told lots of stories, but recently a lady had been hit in the head and came into the clinic, and I knew her, and she needed some help, and she asked if she could use the phone to call 911, and I was so glad to help her until I heard the phone call when she said, I was robbed. I sent my daughter down the street to buy weed, and it just went to, well, sorry, you're supposed to laugh there. And it just went south from there. And she didn't come back, and I went looking for it, and she smoked half of it. And I know my number is attached to that 911 call, and they're passing it around going, listen to this! So there are times you mistake good for evil and evil for good, and it happens in your life and happens in my life. We just have to be open to being redirected and the misunderstanding that's going on. It's also happened like this with Eli, and in the sense in my life that I've thought evil when there was actually good going on. So Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And verse 15, but Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. God was about to answer this prayer. God was going to do something, but she was vexed. She was a wreck emotionally. She was disturbed and didn't notice that she was putting a public display on. The passages today I'm going to read, I will be tearful about, because these are some of my favorite passages. And sometimes I identify with the trouble, and sometimes I identify with the troubled. We need to have enough imagination to be able to look into a passage and identify, if I were in that situation, how would I feel and how would I act? And that's how I look at these passages. And so if I were Hannah, I would be disturbed. But she's disturbed over something she has no control over. God has done this thing. She can't have children. Children aren't coming. And she doesn't know what to do. And she is praying, Lord, please. Well, verse 21, if you don't mind skipping down there, we're actually aiming for chapter 2, where Hannah has a song. And so I'll just tell that portion of the story. Hannah becomes pregnant, and she has made a pledge before the Lord. If you will give me a son, I will present him to you for service for the entire rest of his life. And her husband is all right with this. This is a gift from God. And so Samuel is to be born, and Samuel is born. And Samuel's name means God has heard. He heard my prayer. God has heard. Well, this is what happened. Look at verse 25. They come back when Samuel is 3 years old. Verse 25, then they slaughtered the bull. They brought the child to Eli. They're bringing a sacrifice to Shiloh before the Lord, to the house of the Lord, to the tabernacle. And she said, oh, my Lord, to Eli. She said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Verse 1, chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, and this prayer is just something that we need to have insight into. My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren is born seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heaps to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Her response to God's gift was one of praise be to God, but it was a reminder that there is also judgment to those who are proud. So we take from this passage that we need to be in the humble position, not the proud position. Not arrogant about anything we have or anything we do. I want to speak about something. Hannah could do nothing about this situation. It was brought on her by God. And there are situations in your life and in my life where we might be embarrassed about something, but know that there's nothing we could do about it to begin with. And you can go through a list of things that humiliate people and that other people use to humiliate you. That was the case for Hannah. People were humiliating her, and she was a wreck emotionally because of it. She longed for something, and that longing was a longing that God was going to answer, but that longing was based in something she couldn't do anything about to begin with. Instead of God saying, be satisfied in who you are, God knows what he's built you to be. And there are things that you may look at and say, how on earth will I get through these things? And whatever that humiliation is, whatever that terror is, God may have brought it, most likely has brought it on purpose. So I begin by telling you regularly and telling other people, there are things that I'm humiliated about in my life. I want a relationship with my dad. It just distresses me to no end that as he grows older, I have no connection to him. But if I review my history with him, I can go, I didn't do that. And here I am with this longing for something. What am I longing for? Well, I'm longing for something that God has put in me, a desire to have that relationship. Debbie was telling me just yesterday, many of the women in the city older than her or caught in all sorts of trouble, grandmothers will call her mom. And it's because she's the mother of the neighborhood. They're looking for a relationship that God has put in their heart to have. And so if God has put something in your heart, he's also going to answer or provide you with a use for that. So what is the use for my longing for a connection to my dad? Well, I can sit down by every young man in the inner city and say, me too. I can. It's not I wanted trouble, and it's not they want trouble. But I can sit beside them and say, me too. And you can sit by people and say, me too. And it can be a comfort that God will use. And in the end, when Jesus returns, all things will be made right. And so even if it's not made right now, it will be made right in the end. And so we comfort ourselves not with just the fact that God answers prayer and gives us some of the longings of our heart. We comfort ourselves with God is really enough. God is the answer to every longing he's placed in us. and those longings that we have in our heart right now, He's put into us on purpose. And He'll use them for His glory, and He will eventually comfort us. Well, turn to me, or turn with me to Luke. And I want to point out two people in Luke. So Christmas is one of my favorite times of year. I love Good Friday. I worship well then because I came to Christ on a Good Friday. And that time in my life is joy. But this passage, Mary's Magnificat, this grabs hold of my heart in some of the deepest ways. And so before we get there, I want to read to you about Zechariah, who didn't do as well as Mary did, but was still blessed of the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, "In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord." I love this description. These are good people. They are doing the best they can. That doesn't mean they're perfect. They're not. But they're good people. "But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as high priest, before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled, and when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.'" Wow. Well, one an announcement like that. But then Zechariah got his mouth in here. "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this?'" His question was, "What proof do you got?" Okay, he's talking to an angel. could you? I don't know what he wanted. there's an angel appeared before him. What more does the man want? And this is the great struggle of our humanity. This is Peter walking on the water, then doubting. He's on the water, and then he doubts. Zechariah has the angel of the Lord, has actually Gabriel, and we'll hear that in a moment, speaking to him. He's afraid. There's a holy being there. What more does the man want? How do I know? Did he want a pledge? I don't know. A deposit? And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." You know, I don't think he said it nice. there's trouble here. "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place." Okay, here's a righteous man, and he doubts. And this is the struggle of our humanity. God speaks to us, He's given us His word, and we doubt. And we say, if You'd only prove it to me. And God says, I am God. I only speak the truth. Gabriel, there's only one person who could have been more insulted than Gabriel. It's God. And He can be insulted with us. So let's be righteous and believe. When God speaks, we just nod. We nod. We nod. I was speaking to one of my children, who would answer my questions with, you know, because he had an opinion. I said, just nod. And he's going, okay. Okay. And so it may be a hard thing for us to do. It may be a bad habit we've gotten ourselves in. But doubt is something we need to put away from ourselves and actively agree with what God says, whether He sends an angel to you or He's just written it down. By the way, He's written it down. We need to nod when we're reading the scripture. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these take place, because you did not believe My words, which will be fulfilled in their time. So whether or not we agree, God will do what He'll do. So it's better to agree. We live without those consequences, or at least Zechariah would have lived without those consequences if he had just agreed. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out and he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service has ended, he went to his home. I find that verse hilarious. In this sense, okay, the guy is struck mute, and they don't send him home because he's sick or because there's trouble. You're going to finish your job. I don't care if you don't have a leg. You're going to finish your job. There is an expectation on the priesthood that they're going to fulfill what their duty is. And we can take something from that. Maybe there's an expectation that God has say over our life, and it doesn't matter how the circumstances seem, we need to fulfill the duty that we have. That wasn't the major point that I wanted to make out. The major point was, when God speaks in any way, we should say yes. Because Zechariah is rebuked because he wouldn't agree. He didn't believe. This minor one's just funny. In verse 24, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." She had the same issue. She felt reproach. She felt like God had left her empty. She felt all sorts of things about something she couldn't do anything about. And she's not rebuked for having this attitude. In fact, God answers this longing. And so don't beat yourself up if you have longings. Longings may be from God so that He can show His power and His glory. Longings also may be so that you can be a comfort to others around you. Whatever God has given you a longing for, say those things, admit those things, deal with those things, but look to God as your solution. Whether He answers them now or doesn't answer them, God is still the answer, and God was the answer. And then we come to verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country. Oh, sorry. I just skipped a whole section. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Same angel shows up. But she was greatly troubled at this saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be?" This is a question about process. This isn't a question about doubt. If you said it, I believe it, but I don't understand it. And this is the appropriate way that we as Christians need to respond to God. "God, I don't understand it. I can't see how that's going to happen. I can't imagine that good can come out of this situation. But Lord, tell me how this is going to work out." That's faith. Faith is a response of humility. A response of, "God, if you say it, I'll believe it and deal with it. How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let it be. Wow, what a response. Not fear, questioning, but not fear. If God says it, all right, let it be. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry. Listen to what God filled her with, what words she had to say. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." If you have a Catholic background, you've said this a lot. "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." There's this background. They give too much honor to Mary. But praise God, they hear these words. They pray. They give honor, but we need Jesus to pray for us, to bless us, to help us at the hour of our death. Not Mary, but there's this wonderful, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Who? Jesus. "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" I mean, she doesn't know, but God has spoken a word of insight and knowledge. D.L. Moody wrote a little saying, and how it's phrased now brings some levity. He says, "Many men pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit when they are already full of something else." Now, he didn't mean what we think. he meant they're full of themselves. They're full of ambition. They're full of all sorts of things other than God. And if we are full of something other than a longing for God, why would the Holy Spirit speak through our lips? Why would God use our words, take opportunity to proclaim his word through us? Why would God use us in any way if we're already full of something else? Let's long to be full of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that he would fill us with himself. So Elizabeth is speaking. "And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed is she who believed." that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. God says here, Mary is blessed because she believed. We are blessed when we believe God. Let's believe God when He speaks. And then Mary is full of song, full of praise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." She believed, and all generations call her blessed. And for He is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Mary is just so thankful for what God has done for her. And we should begin with that. God, thank You for what You've done for me. But Mary then goes on with thanksgiving for what He's continuing to do. Verse 50, "And His mercy is for those who fear Him. From generation to generation He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Mary is blessed because she believes. Mary believed for herself. Mary recognized that God works generally with those who call on Him and who are humble. In fact, He turns the circumstances backwards. The rich are now poor, the poor are now rich, those who are humble are now exalted. It's very much the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth." There are these blessings on those who mourn, they will be comforted. It is truly, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." In the kingdom, everything is exchanged in a very interesting way, where God is looking down on mankind, and those who respond to Him by saying, "I don't have anything to offer you," He says, "Exactly, that's exactly right." If we believe and have nothing to offer to God, we're richer than anyone who has every resource. We are truly blessed. I want to tell you that when I come minister here in any way, I am filled with joy, because we don't have any sense we're all that. We have a sense that God is all that and He's enough. Mary understood in the Magnificat this wonderful truth. God has blessed me individually. God blesses others who are humble. But then she ends it with, "And God has kept His promises to Israel." God has kept His promises. God keeps His promises. That's why we can read the scripture while our heads are nodding. We can go, "All right. Yes, it will. Yes, we can." So let's read the scriptures and believe like Mary believed. And poor Zacharias, he's too much like us, isn't he? I put myself in Zacharias' situation all too often. I got one more thing to say. And guess what? It's usually the wrong thing to say. That's Zacharias. "One more thing. Hey, could you prove that?" And Gabriel stands up and says, "I am Gabriel. I serve before God. Who do you think you are?" Go, "Oh, yeah." And when I read the scripture and I say, "God, how is that going to work out? I'm not sure if you've got a plan that's right for me." God says, "I am God." And Mary was able to say, "Let it be as You said." Let me pray for us all. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the most intimate passages there are. The birth of Your Son, the proclamation, Lord, that these women longed for children, and you blessed Hannah and you blessed Elizabeth. And then, Lord, Mary, she just said yes. Lord, we praise you for the ministry that you have given to us in them. And Lord, we know that too often we are like Zechariah. Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep our mouths shut when we need to keep them shut, and help us to agree with you whenever you speak. And Lord, lastly, we'd like to be full of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.